Scripture reading, 1 John 4:4. Okay. It says, "You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because he is in you is greater than he is in the world."
Good morning. Once again, happy Sabbath. Now, before we get started, let us have a word of prayer. Kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to fellowship and worship you. Please give us the desire to let you take dominion of our lives. Please bless my lips as I'm about to give everyone a message prepared, hopefully, from your Spirit. Please send your Holy Spirit to guide me, and may your name be glorified through the process. We ask these things in your name. Amen. There is almost nothing like it in the world. Little kids love it. Their eyes sparkle and they're full of excitement as they sit on the creek banks. Old men talk about it. They even exaggerate sometimes about it. Nothing else compares to the thrill of fight to bring in your very first giant rainbow trout. The experienced and wise fisherman knows that to catch the really big ones, it takes more than a worm and a hook. It takes cunning, forethought, and imagination. The greatest anglers know that temptation is the name of the game. The process begins by a serious study of the prey. What does the fish like? You have to learn its habits, its environment, what it likes. Then the angler has to fabricate some kind of bait to arouse desire to lure the fish in, to biting the illusion. The bait is made of hair and feathers. It is constructed in such a way that when the fish sees it, he will think, "That's the most unusual fly I've ever seen. It looks so fat and so juicy. Boy, I want it so bad, I can't resist." I'll never know how good it is and satisfying it really looks. Oh, I can't resist, and if I wait any longer, it might be gone. So then it looks at it, and then it goes for it, and bow! Through the enticement of a lie, the fish finds out not satisfaction, but death. The devil is a great and skillful angler himself. His bait has never changed, and he's constantly fishing for you. Just like that fisherman trying to hook a fish, Satan will try to hook you. He'll try to arouse your desire and lure you in. Consequently, like he did Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But we'll get back there in a minute. But if you would, follow me. I think it's page 3 of your pew Bibles. It's Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And we probably don't even need to look this verse up because we all know it by heart. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So according to that verse that we just read, initially, my topic for today is who has dominion? Well, who had dominion at the very beginning of the heavens and the earth? God did. Thank you. God had dominions of the heavens and the earth. Follow me a few verses down that same chapter, verse 26. "Let us make man in our own image, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So according to verse 26, who had dominions of the heavens still? God still had dominions of the heavens, that's right. But who had dominions of the earth? Man, that's right. God gave dominion to man. So if God had dominion of heaven and man had dominion of earth, what did Satan have dominion of? Nothing yet, but later on in chapter 3, he had dominion of one thing. And that was the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So if you follow me to Genesis 3, now the serpent was more cunning, was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree of the trees, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. We know how Satan is. He's a master deceiver. And the serpent said, For God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. According to Ellen White, and I don't think I know what book I got this from, but it's Ellen White. Satan commended his work with Eve to cause her to disobey. She first arrived in wandering from her husband, never in lingering around the forbidden tree. How many times do we play around with temptation? And next, listening to the voice of the tempter and ever daring to doubt what God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. She thought perhaps the Lord did not mean just what he said. And venturing, she put forth her hand, took the fruit, and ate. It was pleasing to the eye and pleasant to the taste. Then she was jealous that God had withheld from them what was really good, and she offered it to her husband, thereby tempting him. She related to Adam all the serpent had said and expressed her astonishment that he had the power of speech. How many times do we play with fire? How many times do we convince ourselves to doubt the still small voice? Just one drink isn't going to hurt. Just 5 minutes of turning on the television on the Sabbath to catch a ball score isn't going to hurt. Then, bam! Satan lures you in gradually on small things, one step at a time. Five days before the start of their season, the Ohio State Buckeyes lost their Heisman Trophy candidate, Braxton Miller, to a shoulder injury. On September 6th, a little more than 2 weeks later, the Buckeyes looked like their season was finished before it even started, as they fell to an unranked team, the Virginia Tech Hokies, 35-21. Then Ohio State rolled off 10 consecutive victories in a row, with second-string quarterback and then Heisman Trophy candidate himself, JT Barrett, before JT Barrett fractured his ankle in their season finale against arch nemesis Michigan in a game they did pull out 42-28. Now they're down to their third-string quarterback, Cardale Jones. We know the story. He miraculously pulls in through the next three wins, wins the Big Ten championship the following week against Wisconsin. Then they beat Alabama, and then they win the national championship. Job also has overcame insurmountable odds. He lost his wealth, family, and health. And just like, let's turn to Job right now. Job chapter 1, 6 through 8. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come from?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about the earth and walking around on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a harmless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." So God tested Job, and we know the story of Job. We know all the adversities and turmoils that he faced. I love the story of Job because despite all his critics, despite all the tragedies, adversities, and turmoils that this man faced, he was able to prove that despite the critics, and I'm connecting this story with Ohio State, that no matter what your critics say, whatever you can do, that you can overcome anything through God. And just because Satan has dominion over many things of this earth does not mean he has to have dominion over you. Therefore, we have to be prepared constantly and be vigilant for Satan's snares because he's going to attack us at any time. There's another story of someone else that overcomes Satan's temptations. And if you would, follow me to Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Spirit, returned from Jordan by the Holy Ghost and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command the stone it be made bread." Satan knows how to tempt us when we're at our weakest. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. At this point, he was very hungry. Satan said, "Why don't you turn these stones into bread? And you can eat." And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Once again, Satan comes to Jesus with another temptation, offering him the whole world. And Jesus answered him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. How often when Satan comes to us and attacks us, that we have these own desires burning within us, the things that we enjoy, and Satan, knowing us like he knows us, plays on our weaknesses. That's when we need to really pray hard that we have keep God in our hearts at all times and serve him first, because anything that we spend more time in can be our God. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Here he goes again, for the third time, tempting our Savior. God will save you. Go ahead and jump. And Jesus answered him unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. What an inspiration. If every one of us could practice just saying prayers, being vigilant prayer, and have time with God, meditate on God, get to know him as our personal Savior, I think we could be a lot more prepared to overcome these temptations that Satan's going to throw at us. And throughout scriptures, we find many other inspirational stories that remind us through Christ how we can overcome Satan's snares. There's also one in Genesis when Joseph was being tested too by Potiphar's wife. If you would, turn with me also to Romans 6. Romans 6, 6 through 12 is actually where it's going to be at. And that will be page 1003 in your pew Bibles. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no more hath dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. I think it's important that we need to ask ourselves, who truly has control of our minds? Jesus has set us free from the bondage of sin. We can be set free from whatever it is that is not of God that controls us. God is not like Satan. He'll plead with you. He'll knock. But it's up to you to let him in. He's not going to barge in and take control. Follow me for a couple chapters over, chapter 12 of Romans. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to allow Jesus Christ to work in us, to change us into a new person. It might not happen overnight. Sometimes Jesus even allows us to wallow in our sins for a while. Sometimes just to realize how weak we are without Him. We need Him. We need to allow Him to take control of our thoughts. Once we allow Jesus to control our thoughts, then we can deny Satan the right to have dominion of our lives. As the elderly man lay dying in his bed, death's agony was pushed aside as he smelt the aroma of his favorite homemade chocolate chip cookies, wafting up the stairs all the way up to his bedroom. Gathering his strength, he lifted himself from the bed. Leaning against the wall, he slowly made his way out of the bedroom. And he made his way all the way through the long hallway. With intense concentration, he supported himself against the wall, and he finally made it to the steps. And he took one step at a time as he went all the way down the steps to the first floor. In labored breath, against the door frame, he gazed wide-eyed into the kitchen. And there, to his amazement, spread up on the newspapers on the kitchen table were literally hundreds of his favorite chocolate chip cookies. Was I in heaven, I thought? Or was this one final act of heroic love from his devoted wife? Seeing to it that he left this world a very, very happy man. Mustering one final great effort, he threw himself toward the table, landing on his knees in a rumpled posture. one hand on the edge of the table. The aged and withering hand made its way to a cookie near the edge of the table. Feeling the warm, soft dough actually made the pains of his bones subside for a moment. His parched lips parted. The wondrous taste of cookies. What then was the stinging that caused his hand to recoil? He looked to see his wife still holding a spatula she just had used to smack his hands. "Stay out of the cookies," she said. "They're for your funeral." How often are we enticed by eye appeal? How often do we allow ourselves to be lured in and enticed by our own desire? When we run toward evil in the midst of our trials, that's our own fault. That's our own sin. Our own flesh has enticed us and lured us away from God's promises. Let's allow God to take control of our lives. Let's let God take our lives back. As Randy read earlier, from 1 John 4:4, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one," and you know who the one is, right? God. Hopefully the God is the one in your life. "The one that is in you is greater than anything that's in this world." And if we allow Christ to renew our minds and renew our thoughts and renew our desires and if we can just make self-sacrifice, as he sacrificed everything for us on the cross, if we can at least sacrifice some of these earthly desires that we want, and we let him live in us. Philippians 4:13 says we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So let's ask God to take control of our lives. So in closing, let me ask you, who has dominion of your time? If we could do a web history of your mind, or even look on your computer, what would we find? Who has dominion of your thoughts? Who has dominion of you? Surrender yourself over to Jesus and let him have dominion. Everyone has a choice to make. Every day of our lives, we have a choice to make. Every day when we wake up in the morning, we need to have prayer. We need to ask God to flush away those thoughts in our mind that aren't pure. We need to ask God to take control of our thoughts. Ask God to take control of our time. We need to ask him to renew our mind. We need to surrender all of ourselves, all of us, every part of us. He wants every part of you. He sacrificed it all for each one of us. I'm not perfect. I have my battles, just like everybody. And every day I don't spend time with Jesus, and I don't spend time in his word. I don't spend time in prayer. I notice this ugliness Jesus is pleading with your soul. If anybody wants to give their life to the Lord and want to come forward, you're more than welcome. If anyone wants to stand up for Jesus and you just want to surrender yourself today and say, Lord, forgive me for the things that I've done, please stand. If you have the desire to let Jesus take control and complete dominion of your life, just have that prayer with me now. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all these people that are here. We thank you for all those people that are standing. We thank you for your precious gift that you give on for us on Calvary. We thank you that even though Adam and Eve messed up in the Garden of Eden and they surrendered part of that dominion to Satan, that it doesn't have to be that way for us. Job was a living testimony of how he stood firm even with all his critics. All of his supposed friends. And even his wife who said, may you curse God and die. He still stood strong. Joseph stood strong when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And of course, Jesus stood strong in the wilderness. Allow us to stay strong as well. Renew our minds and give us strength to follow you more. Guide each one of us. We ask these things in your name.